Hi guys, welcome back to K-Pop Parade. We exist.
We do. I mean, yeah.
2021 was the same for us as it was for everyone else. Chaotic, but it's our tradition to round out each year with a comprehensive, not all comprehensive, review of K-pop.
So here's to 2021 and our very exclusively comprehensive list. Let us start out with the one song. Well, first of all, our list is, you know, 10-ish songs. Per person.
10-ish.
Mine was much easier to compile because I have not had time to K-pop this year.
And I work in a K-pop shop part-time now, so mine was a lot harder to compile.
Yeah, lucky you. But we did have one song that overlapped, so that one doesn't count in the 10, you know? Doesn't count?
No, of course not.
No,
of course
not. At all. And that would be Runaway by EXO. So let's run away.
Loved this song so much. Don't Fight the Feeling was a really great title track, and I love that it kind of brought back almost a Power era feeling for EXO.
You missed
that
Power.
I know, like, oh, me too. A lot of fans had been missing that feeling, and I know I personally had missed this kind of sound from EXO. It kind of felt like the older stuff. It just kind of felt like home, I guess. Like, Big Bang, SNSD, and SHINee were the first groups I ever heard in K-pop, but EXO was the first one that I, like, hardcore spiraled into.
It's true.
And hearing this album just felt so, like, warm and comforting, and Runaway was just about, like, running away with them, and you get that romance vibe, and it was just done in such a comforting way. I also think that musically, it was so simple that it fit the song very well. It felt like it was primarily vocals over a beat rather than having a huge instrumental background, and in my mind that kind of fit the song perfectly.
We waited so long for this comeback, and despite some key members missing, it was still really, really good. SM Entertainment as a company has a very particular sound that they have cultivated since the beginning. You know, NCT, TVXQ, Suju, whatever. They all have like a same bass sound. And EXO was never an exception to that. But their title track, you know, are usually heavily produced, blah, 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 blah. But the great thing about EXO is their ability to diversify on the B-sides. And I've always, you know, gravitated toward those. Gravity, Black Pearl, Lightsaber, What You Do.
Black Pearl is just absolutely phenomenal. Let's just get that out of the way.
An oldie but a goodie. The point here is that they showcase other genres folded into the K-pop sound, and that has actually always been their strength. And Runaway in particular is great because it's mellow. It's not overly produced, and we get some phenomenal moments of a cappella that are usually glossed over because, you know, as a group, you all have to sound the same. You all have to fit in the chord. You can't be individualistic. But that one minor chord we hear towards the end that Minsook gets to resolve is my favorite part because he's my precious PhD Kim. And
I do love you some Minsook.
I do. And I know somewhere in the back of my mind, I'm like, he had to have been a part of this song because he's just such a like a silent partner kind of dude. And he went for, you know, music production, a PhD. So
the man knows what he's doing.
Exactly. And more people should love Minsook because I love Minsook and I wish more people would. Anyway.
Now we'll move on to our individual lists. These are in no particular order. I know that I had a hard time whittling down to 10, so putting them in an order was going to be literally impossible.
It's true.
So both of our first ones are actually TXT.
TXT.
And Abby made this so much easier for me because I was struggling to choose between Loser Lover and Love Song, I Know I Love You. So her taking Love Song opened up the door for me to talk about Loser Lover.
Which, I mean, either are phenomenal.
They're so good. Oh, they're so good.
This album and era in general in TXT's career is just stunning to me because it highlights everything that the actual industry is missing. Like, diversity, creative freedom, emotional depth. Like,
what are those things?
Yeah, no, they don't exist anywhere else in K-pop, that's for damn sure. TXT is supposed to be like, you know, a pop boy band, but they've given us punk rock. And they've expressed that youthful, you know, desire so poignantly and as powerfully as BTS did in I Need You.
I love that comparison. Mm-hmm. I think that it, like, the comparison of this era of TXT to, like, the Run and I Need You eras of BTS, mm-hmm. they have the same feeling, but both being from HYBE, and they still manage to do it different.
It's a year-defining song because it's different.
This was the year of TXT, and I really, really hope that they stick with this, like, emo pop punk vibe that they're giving off.
Or not, you know? I love Can You See Me, too. It's just the depth of emotion that they go to, and then the topics that they choose to sing about are just different and more real than a lot of the other groups, because there are so many groups now, because they're so popular now.
There are so many groups.
There are so... I can't. I don't even know what's going on anymore. I left for like a month and I'm like, who the fuck are these people? But yeah.
Always thought that TXT was very talented. I never really stand them as hard as you wanted me to.
It's true. I tried really hard, guys.
But I also think that this is a very... This is kind of like their sweet spot. When Taehyun sings Loser Lover live, it sounds like he sings as passionately as though rent was due yesterday.
Damn. And damn.
Subin is so insanely talented as well. And our running joke here is that Yeonjun looks like a walking red flag in this era. But this era just definitely gave me the opportunity to go back and appreciate TXT's other stuff more mm-hmm. as well. Loser Lover is like the pop punk song I had no idea that I needed. It's perfect for blasting full volume and singing at the top of your lungs as you drive. And I just think that they jumped, like you're saying, they jumped out of the mold with this one. And I'll just like 100 out of 10 recommend.
Yeah. Loser don't Lover. Even get me started on the vocals. Their solo parts in Love Song are unique and flourished, and they get to scat. And we don't ever hear dudes scat unless it's Baekhyun. And they harmonize because their music was interpreted by them instead of them being dictated by someone else. A lot of people, you know, don't sing their own songs, which is fine. It's how it's done. But, like, when the emotions and the lyrics are not your own, it's hard to, you know, capitulate. It's hard to make it real. And this is, like you said, like the rent is due. Like your boyfriend just broke up with you. Like you just caught your girlfriend in the car with someone else. Like, not to mention the music video, their choreography had their mics built into...
In Loser Lover?
In the choreo, yeah. And that was so cool to me because it was like them saying that they could do both. They could dance, but they could also rock at the same time. They could do anything. Like, I'm sorry, did you want us to do like a Latin genre? That's fine. We'll do that next. Or like anything. They can do anything. And I love TXT so much.
They're definitely about to like... I think with this era, they really put themselves on the map and they're just about to take off more than they... Because they were already, like, globally loved and very popular. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is about to be the... Like, this is what's going to kick them off to be stronger than they already were.
Mm-hmm. It's true. What is our next one?
Our next one is Burn It by Golden Time.
I know. I loved this song immediately. And I think it's, you might have sent it to me. I don't know. Whatever.
Probably because I also really, really love Golden Child.
But after I listened to it for the 65 millionth time, I started to notice how Golcha incorporated things that should have been more cliche music-wise So here, like, hear me out. The song has a tropical house vibe, which should have, like, excluded it. People don't like that anymore. We had the Coco Bop era. It was weird. We all did acid.
Have you seen that video of that girl who is at an EXO show and Coco Bop started? And she just screams out, I fucking hate this song.
Oh, no.
Shimmy, shimmy, Coco Bop.
It's a weird
I'm sorry. Anytime song, anyone says anything about Coco Bop, that's immediately what I think of.
But that's the point. Tropical vibe, house, weird music is kind of very, like, you know, everybody uses it for summer, and then we use the drums, and then summer's done, and then it's done, and you can stop listening to it. But this one, it was, like, it was catchy, and, like, who in their right mind could resist those, oh, in the chorus? Like, no one. You will do that until you die. It's easy to listen to, it's easy to sing, even if you don't know Korean. The we're in the fire, you're gonna be fine. Sung by each member lets them add their own flair and, like, showcase themselves, because it's so easy to get lost. Because, like, Golcha's a big group. How many people are in Golcha?
10 members. Golden Child has 10 members.
That's still a lot. It's the most right now.
It's still a big group.
17, but 10 is a
lot
more.
Unless you count
NCT. No, we don't count NCT. The point here being, you know, it's very easy to get lost in a group that big. And it's true, their distribution is not really the best, but it's definitely not the worst.
No, and it's hard to distribute well in a group that size. But one thing that Golden Child always has excelled in is all of their title track. If one member doesn't get lines in a title track, they'll get it in the next one.
That's good. Yeah, I definitely noticed. I did look at the line distribution. It wasn't, like I said, it wasn't terrible, but there were two particular guys who sang most of it. And that always kind of happens because, you know, the rappers don't get a lot of lines if there's no rap in the song and blah, 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 blah. But I still think they got a lot of screen time.
Golden Child, they are storytellers with their music videos.
Mm-hmm.
And Burn It really showcases that. Like, they released another one this year called Rap Pum, or last year, I guess, called Rum Pum Pum.
Whatever.
And it was like an apocalypse type video. And they did the same thing where every member has their own storyline.
That's a great way to be able to give everybody a little bit of what they want. So I commend it. I say, yeah, get it. I still don't know anyone from them.
But. I was so glad that this was on your list because I am a huge Golden Child fan. I really love Golcha, and I had really hoped that this was the song that was going to get more people into them. But I mean, this, like I was saying earlier, it's just a story and everyone loves a good zombie movie. And that's exactly what they gave us. And the great thing about Golden Child 2, though, is they give us these stories in their videos without taking away from the song and how good the song itself is.
Which is a great thing about music videos. And I will die on that hill, guys. I will. If your music video doesn't match your song, what's the point?
And so, I don't know, Golden Child, this was definitely an A-plus song for the year. Definitely great choice. Our next one is Beauty and the Beast by The Rose. When I tell y'all that I was shocked that we were getting a new Rose song in 2021, I mean, I was shocked.
I'm still not sure how it happened.
I cried when I saw the Instagram. So I have a working theory on how it happened. And because it was released under their old label. And so my theory is that while all of the negotiations and everything happened, that this was going to be their last release under this label. 3/4 of them are in the military. Woosung's the only one not in the military because he's American,
yeah.
And I think that what probably happened, like, and I, this is all an assumption, is I feel like this was probably filmed before or during the drama and the chaos. Mm. And that once negotiations and everything were finally reached and it was established that they were, you know, not going to stay with the company, that they were like, you have to release one more song off of us that we can make money off of.
I guess that's a valid point.
But, I mean, the song itself is absolutely beautiful. It gives a very soft rock feel while building to this beautiful climax. I got major chills while I was listening to it, and I'm sure that's a combination of just missing The Rose and then the song itself. But I also don't think The Rose has really ever released a bad song. I think Candy will forever be on my top five favorite K-pop songs ever. It was just amazing to see them again, and I really have major hopes for the future when they find somewhere that they're happy, because they've said they're staying a band. So,
oh, that's good.
Yeah, I just, it's, man, this song was so beautiful, and the video was absolutely stunning, and it showed three different types of love, and I just think it was so powerful, and oh man, I will never get over how good this song was.
I thought it was beautiful, and I will always be happy to hear Sammy's voice.
He does have a very cool voice.
It's a very unique and breathy, and you know who it is as soon as you listen to it. And yeah, The Rose is great. If you miss The Rose, you could listen to One Wee, but we can talk about that later.
Hey, so speaking about talking again, what's our next song?
It's Can We Talk Again by Purple Kiss. Back again. Can we talk again? Can we try again? 우리 예전처럼 돌아가. 또 웃을 수 있다면 다시 또 love again. 다시 또 love again. 아무 일도 없는 것처럼 내게로 back again. It is honestly the intro that does it for me. Like, the well, oh well, that thing. I crave something different from girl groups, something more individualistic and like free, like Mamamoo or Dreamcatcher. Everybody names drops those ones because they're just different. And this song grooves. Like, they slur into each chord. They flip into like every note just because they can. And that four-note thing in the pre-chorus is just pure joy. I can hear each girl, and I can hear passion and expert teamwork. And the thing that really I like a lot is that they prove that you don't have to take every ounce of individualism out of the song to make a cohesive chord. Like we were talking about earlier with SM, you cannot do anything but hit the note in a chord because you're in a group. And to be in a group, you know, you have to conform. But they're like, nah, fam, we don't gotta do that. This is jazz. Ugh, it's wonderful. I don't know any of their names, but I love them.
Purple Kiss is very, very talented. And that being said, the song underwhelmed me a little bit. I really love the chorus. The chorus is a bop, but the rest of the song just unfortunately didn't hold my interest.
Well, see, that's the thing. There's the next song after that, which I don't remember the name of. Very underwhelming as well. But one, I'm fine. My criteria for my list was, have I put it on repeat before? And the answer is yes. So
that's a good criteria to have. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. a good one.
Yes.
Our next song.
Shiny.
Shiny. Our next song is Atlantis by Shiny. Just my kings. I love Shiny so damn much. Don't Call Me eventually grew on me, but this was Shiny's comeback. I'm very sad that Taemin enlisted as soon as everyone else came back, because they could have dropped like at least one more bop this year. Atlantis was just absolutely incredible, catchy. Taemin, Ki, and Minho all had amazing solo songs this year. I couldn't fit Ki's Bad Love on my list, but Bad Love,
oof,
so good.
No. Hate that. Duet so with Taeyeon. Anyway, continue.
But as a group, I know that I had missed Shiny so much. And this just like scratches the part of my brain just right.
We reviewed this song back when it came out in a previous episode. And my feelings are the same. Shiny still got it. Shiny will never lose it. Shiny was there at the beginning.
Shiny is forever. What's our next song, Abby?
Our next song, previously spoken about, is Aurora by One Wee. Cross over my head. Go ahead. 널 가린 구름을 걷어 love these people. I did not set out to become a hardcore Two Moon, which is their fandom name, which doesn't make any sense to me in English, but whatever. But here we are. And there is not a single song of theirs that I don't love. I had at least three of their songs on my list, but I had to choose Aurora. Like, I don't even know. The chorus, first of all, duh. Their lead singer, Younghoon, is phenomenal. And every member is multi-talented because they're a band. So they all sing, and they all play instruments, except for Younghoon, but whatever. And it's one of the first K-rock songs that I heard that actually emphasized the bass.
We love a bass line.
We love a bass line in anything at this point. My husband plays a tuba, so you know I like that bass. But I also played the bass for a very short period of time, and nobody ever hears you unless you're not playing.
As did I.
Yeah, nobody ever hears you unless you're not playing, and then they're like, what are you doing? But this one, you could hear it. He was thumping, and just like, oh, ah, it was wonderful. It's also because of them that I started to get into One Us, which I guess is a byproduct of that. Not because they're not great already, but because it's a familiar voice since they're twinsies.
Twinsies. Actually, it's so funny because at our shop, we'll always be like, oh man, we really like this song. Who is this? And it's always One Us. And we're always like, we refuse to get into One Us. And then they dropped their most recent comeback, Luna. And we were like, well, shit, I think we're into One Us.
I'm also into One Us. Actually, I'm more into One We. I love One We so much. Also, great songs of theirs. Trauma, Aquarium, and Rain to Be.
We love a good K-band. We love a good K-band. When we are super talented, I just don't follow them as much as I probably should.
And that's the thing. We specifically always say that, you know, we wish there were more K-bands. But there are a lot of K-bands. We just haven't found them. So we're working on it. Well, yes. Right now, I'm feeling Aurora. But also, I'm also feeling other people, like our next one.
Ooh, our next one is Flip a Coin by Vixen. Vixen owned, they just owned the first half of the year.
Yes,
they
did.
What I said was so good, but Flip a Coin was the best song on that album, in my opinion, and they released a dance video for it, and oh my gosh, the chorus is so catchy, and I just want to say that Hansei is one of the best rappers in the industry, and all of y'all out here listening just need to go ahead and accept that, okay?
Yeah. Kid, he is a motor mouth. He's so fast. It's ridiculous.
He's so, like, he's just never, I'll see on TikTok lists of, like, best Korean rappers, and he's never there. And I'm like, y'all are missing someone. They're all, though, the whole group are all powerhouse vocals in their own right. And Sungwoo, come back from the military already. Like, we miss you.
For real. I listened to this whole album through and through multiple times. Because in last January, I was like, I'm going to listen to every single album that comes out. Boom. Did I do anything after that? No. But this one stayed in my brain because it's fantastic. And even though Flip a Coin wasn't my favorite, I do love Victon and their ability to flip between genres like it's nothing. Like, their earlier stuff is cutesy. Like, hella cutesy. And then as soon as you get into like Nostalgic Night, you're like, oh, and then you get into Mayday. Oh, I loved Mayday so much. Yeah. And then they're just definitely dark horses, you know, especially their solo member releases. I'm looking at you, Han Sungwoo with Sacrifice. Holy fuck, I love that song so much too.
It's like incredible. That was on your top 10 of last year's K-pop.
Yes, it was, because it's amazing. Yeah. Anyway. So, quick little blurb. There is another song that came out this year that I'm going to talk about really quick. It was Still Dream by Woojin. And I really loved this song. The chorus is powerful and driving in like my favorite way. And it shows off his range and control and is catchy as hell. The song itself is layered in a way that it sounds more stripped And I really, really like it, even though I know it's actually very produced. It sounds like he's got a double track and then a ton of reverb, but it makes him sound resonating instead of like T-Pain. And one of my favorite types of songs is that sort of ethereal, we're flying, everything's gonna be okay, you know, kind of feels. Unlike the next song, which is Paranoia by Kong Daniel. So damn good. There's a reason he was the leader of 101. There's a reason he has his own company and is so successful.
It's true.
And this song, being about anxiety, depression, never feeling good enough, is backed up by amazing instrumentals, and it makes it hit so hard. And like, we all have our inner denims.
I don't think I have any of those, but you do you, bro.
We all have our inner demons that we can't escape, and Daniel really catches that feeling in this song. This song isn't a song, it's an emotion. And I am just always ready for whatever comes next from him. He is, oh, so good.
I also had Paranoia on my list before I had to whittle it down.
So good.
And I'm just convinced that Paranoia and Antidote are related, you know, a callback, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, to and he's a great artist, and I enjoy his voice, and I enjoy the newfound freedom he has, and the fact that, like TXT, he's talking about things that are different, not just, you know, the typical boppy, I hope he loves me sort of thing. I want more people to talk about emotions that we actually feel, as opposed to, like, you know, ones that are manufactured for us to feel, you know?
Talk about your feelings.
Your feelings!
So tell me about your feelings about the next song on your list. See what I did there?
I see. You're so punny. You just wait. I have one written in for later. You're going to love it.
It's going to be great.
It's Everest by Akmu. Perhaps my favorite song of the entire year. I will have it on repeat for days. I like going down the hallway at work. I'll just have it in. I'm just rock climbing. Like, I love it. And Akmu is always a delight on the ears, especially since they're not hard pop. And I don't know about you or the audience or anyone, but sometimes I just go, I get so sick of it. It all sounds the same at some point, and you're just like, fuck it. Fuck everything, I'm gonna go listen to the Mongolian throat singing, and there's nothing you can do about it. And then you listen to Akmu, because it is soft, and it's an acoustic duet that will bring me life forever, and then everything is fine again. It is fine. And I know, I know the chorus is very simple, and sometimes I will criticize people for having simple choruses, or dance choruses in, you know, some guys' groups, but it is so moving, like literally, it makes me want to go get up and climb a mountain and then maybe camp up there and then never come down and then like quit my job and live on a tent on a mountain. Like, it's just, it's wonderful, and it's, I love it. And it starts off small and it grows, but it goes back to being small again, like it was unintrusive and it just wanted to bring you joy. So that's all I have to say about that.
This song has Sam Kim on it, and I love Sam Kim.
AKMU are just so talented, and this was a gorgeous combination. They're a wonderful pair, and they only know how to make good music.
It's true.
The violin or fiddle, whatever it was that was in the song, was just, normally you get that instrument and it's very overpowering. And this was just a soft, perfect touch. And I really think it was just a really, really damn good song.
I love AKMU. Yes. And just like I love AKMU, Trinity loves Pentagon.
I sure love Pentagon. And our next song is Do or Not by Pentagon. Pentagon song on my list.
No one, not a single person.
Aside from them being my alt group, this was a fun, upbeat breakup anthem. And although I really missed Jinho's voice in it, and I am now sad that this next comeback this month won't have Hui in it, I really think that this song showcased Pentagon's, I called it the shine strength, the kind of upbeat, peppy like songs that they have, like they kind of just no pun intended shine through.
Get out.
I was shocked that it did not get a win, she says with every single song.
Shocker.
But it had like a very infectious, upbeat fuck you message, and I think it sets it aside from like other breakup songs in a really neat way.
And I did in fact have the fuck you vibe, and I did not realize that until just now.
It does. There's a very, I don't care what you do, either get in or get out kind of a thing.
Fuck around and find out.
Exactly. As much as I adore Hui, and I love my leader,
You mean my bias?
Yes, I mean your bias.
Put your hands up, my bias.
He had enlisted when this song dropped. So he was.
Yes, I'm aware.
He was in the song. He was enlisted by the time they started doing promotions for it, and Yanan got to cover his lines. And seeing Yanan go from having two words in a song to covering the leader's line was just kind of a very proud moment for me.
I miss Hui. And you know what? I miss Hui. And at this point, not winning for great songs has just become part of Pentagon's brand. So
you're right. You are.
I am right.
Absolutely right. Speaking about Hui and Jinho and other incredible vocalists, what's your next song, Abby?
Thank you for asking. It's Right Now by Gaho. And at first, I thought this song would be boring. The intro is boring. But he's just rising to it. You got to get up that suspense, right? And then the chorus hits and you're like, this is art. I have to listen to it again right now.
I hate you.
I'll be here all week. I will be here at least for the next hour. Get it?
Yeah, we get it.
Thank you. I have loved Gaho before I even knew who Gaho was.
Gaho was on your like year wrap up before you even knew who Gaho was.
Mm-hmm. Our first one when we first started. And it was for Stay? I think it's Stay. Whatever. He's fantastic. And his friends call him the Vocal King, and it's accurate. And I guess he's just some sort of just fantastic soloist just hanging out, doing whatever, hanging with his friends, not signing to a corrupt entertainment agency because he's a maverick.
Have you seen his cover of Good For You by Olivia Rodrigo?
Yes, you sent it to me.
He's in a grocery store and it's just, oh, he's so good. And it's so funny because his entire band is rocking out and then his keyboardist is just kind of vibing with everyone, like just vibing in there.
Yes, I love Gaho a lot.
He is so, I also like the fact good.
That he's not like, he's not popular, but he should be, but he not. And it's because Yeah. Well, it's just it's because he's not part of a huge agency and they don't have a lot of sway. And you can't, and it's just, you know, it just feels like I know something that other people don't.
You're such a K-pop hipster.
You should see the songs that I had on my list before this. And I was like, nobody knows who this is.
That's funny.
That's not popular. Nobody knows who that is either.
But Gaho, just, he definitely has one of like the most beautiful and smoothest voices in K-pop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And his range, man. The kid can belt insane. Better than I can. It's crazy.
Yeah, he's absolutely insane. You know who else is insane right now? You know who's insane? Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Yugyeom is insane.
Yep.
My next song on my list is All Your Fault by Yugyeom and Gray. This is how you fought.
All I have to say is that escalated fucking quickly.
It really did. So listen, when GOT7 left JYP, I was so interested to see what they were going to do with soloists. We had already kind of gotten Jackson's. We knew what Jackson was doing. And with Team Wang.
He'll be here later. Don't worry.
Although Pan the Pack was unexpected. I was not ready for him to have a Chinese group that he was in all of a sudden. But we have now gotten solos from every single member of GOT7 since they left JYP. And Yugyeom has the best solo stuff in my mind. It's so funny. I will admit that when I first heard the song, I really thought he was saying, "This is how you fucked up."
Oh.
Because when he says, "This is all your fault," I heard, "This is how you fucked up." And I've learned since that that's not the case. That's not what he was saying.
You don't know.
You know, but then I think his style of music fits his voice so well. And he just shines under AOMG. I think this song was fantastic. His solo stuff is stuff I've genuinely enjoyed the most. I'm sorry, Mark, but man, this song was so good. Like, I couldn't pass it.
On a side note, did you see that Jay Park resigned from AOMG or stepped down?
No, I did not. I thought you were going to talk about Jay from Day 6 leaving JYP in Day 6.
I was not. Jay Park, yeah, he stepped down for both AOMG and his other one.
Why?
I have no idea. I didn't read the article, but I thought it was interesting because he started
that
them.
That is interesting. Well, and he's the reason that JB signed with his other one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because JB and Yugyeom signed with J Park Labels.
Yep, I don't know. It was suspicious.
That's suspicious.
Suspicious.
That's weird.
But yeah, Jay needed to leave Day 6. Not, well, that's not true. Jay needed to leave JYP. Day 6 was an unfortunate byproduct of that.
So here's my thing with that is Jay, like, he's spoken very highly of JYP and that JYP
the person.
Was very... Yes, the person.
The
and
person.
That JYP, the person, was very supportive of his decisions and when he needed a break, and he was like, "Hey man, if this isn't making you happy, you can't do it anymore."
Yeah.
And I think that it's going to be very, very great for him to not be under JYP agency anymore.
As a quick added note, we did record this before everything else that has since happened with Jay from Day 6 has happened. We will touch on that on a later episode, but this was recorded before any of that happened.
I agree. And we do always have to make that distinction with everybody, because most of the other groups that work at JYP also say the same thing. The dude, JYP, is great. His company is shit. So gotta make that distinction.
But anyway, back to all this. Yugyeom, All Your Fault. So good. So good. Yugyeom leaving JYP was the best thing he could have ever done for himself.
We have my queen, BB, coming back with The Weeknd. You only call me on the weekend. You only love me when we're freaking. You got me jumping off the deep end. You only call me on the. You only call me on the. You only call me on the week. The song is in English, so I wasn't sure if it would count, but I love BB so much that I had to try.
I wasn't going to tell you no.
It was with 88 Rising, who we all know and love from collabs with like Jackson Wong. And the song is just funky and smooth. And it gives her a chance to show off her scatting. And she's just like, why? And it's just so catchy. And I love it. And plus she has absolutely no accent while singing in English and with slang, which is hella impressive. And I had to Google her once again. And I'm like, are we sure she's not from the U.S.? She's not. She's also a child. You're so hardcore. 20, I think.
Oh.
Hold on. Let me check.
You know who I learned was American today?
Who?
Hyunin Kai from TXT.
He's from Hawaii. How did you know that?
I didn't know that. I had learned nothing about the group until recently. And then I watched their interview with Jesse today. And I didn't know that Yeonjun lived in California for 2 years. And I'm learning all kinds of things about TXT lately.
Yes. Oh, she's 23.
Okay. So. Okay, that makes me still feel a little less old.
Yeah, no, she's still a child. Yeah, but I fucking love her. Yeah, she is definitely from Korea. I don't know why her accent is not real, but it's wonderful. And I love her. And she just, why do you have to go into like straight up BDSM music and then straight,
you only call me on the freaking. You only call me because we freaking.
She's king.
Love her. She's a whole ass queen. Our next song is Higher by Ace.
And the whole Siren Dawn concept was stunning. I bought an embarrassing amount of these physical copies of these albums for the photo cards. The photo books are beautiful. They just completely owned this beautiful, beautiful era.
Is this the one with the Hanbok and them being just like straight up mermaids in Korean clothing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they were mermaids. This song makes Ace glow. And I couldn't come up with another way of saying that.
They were glowing. I think they were.
I think literally at one point they were. But they're my second favorite group in K-pop. So it's Pentagon and then Ace.
It was funny. You wrote that. And I was like, huh, who's her first? Wait.
But what's great about Ace is the entire group, including the rap line, can sing. And they can all sing. Like, I need y'all to understand, when I emphasize the word sing, I mean they can sing.
She's emphasizing the word sing.
They are also like, and they get to show that in this song, because in this song as well, Rapline gets to actually like vocalize and sing. They are incredible dancers. They're all visuals.
It's true.
If you aren't can confirm Ace, please go give this song a chance. Byungkwan is my bias, but I have real life feelings for Donghoon.
I remember this was a very different direction for Ace, since I've only known them from doing like, you know, like the hard shit, like Cactus or whatever. It is very vocal forward, like you said, and it doesn't sound like they have, like the track was stabilized, like their vocal tracks, which I liked a lot because it sounded more real. It sounded more authentic. And I've got to say, it does seem like Ace is always doing something a bit different from the rest of the people. Is this what it is to be a trendsetter?
Absolutely. Because even with Favorite Boy's Goblin, like that one.
Oh, so good.
So good. But I mean, they've always had more like rock underlying tones in some of their songs. But then they also had an all English song dropped this year with Gray as well.
They did.
And yeah, it was called Down. And it was filmed in like a vertical format, like it was a TikTok, and it was so cute and so good. But they also it's like an upbeat poppy song, but then they also still let their vocalist belt out and shine. And Ace is just, oh, they're so talented and amazing. Please go stan Ace. Please.
You can buy us Ace too. It's fine. We don't
That's
care.
Fine too. Buy us all of them. They all deserve it.
You know who definitely deserves your bias, though?
Who, Abby?
My man, Woozy from 17. I don't even care. I am not a good carrot. I only like him. That's not true at all. It's not true. It's not true. But I love
Can you
him.
Name the song at least.
It's Rock With You by 17. And listen, Woozy composed, wrote, produced, and sang this song. Perhaps not completely alone, but I don't care. And it's called a new wave post-punk K-pop. And what more do you want from me? Just take my fucking money, please. It's fine. I loved this song. I love this song so much. And I always forget that I love 17 so much until I hear 17 again. I'm like, oh God, I love 17. And the music video is great too, because I got to see all of the boys' faces. I got to hear all of their voices. Plus, it seemed like a bit of a love note for Carrots, because at one point, they're all on stage and they're singing, I want to rock with you, our fans, the people who love us, the people who we love. Oh, I'm going to cry. And I hate that I always forget 17 are Dancing Kings, but here we are being reminded once again that 17 could very well maybe dance the socks off of pretty much anybody. So, yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to say it. This is 17's best song.
Top five. Top five.
I'm going to go with best. Don't Wanna Cry is up there. Clap is up there. They have their B-sides are fantastic. This song hit something different, and it hit it just right.
It was a bit more rock than they usually do. They're usually very much rock. Very dance, very house, which I fucking love. But this one, is so good. So good.
It was absolute. I remember I heard it and was like, oh my God, yes.
And this album in general, Attica, was so great. Also, the previous one had a song called Heaven's Cloud, which is also on my list. And I couldn't decide which one I liked more. It is Rock With You. But Heaven's Cloud is also very, very good because it showcases more vocals. And, you know, they have the most people in their group besides NCT, because NCT doesn't count. And they have always done a very thorough and good job at making sure their voices, they're all unique. You can pick them out, but they all fit into the chord. And the chord is unique because they have enough people to create those weird ass 16-person chords. 13 persons, I know, shut up. But anyway.
Next on my list is Hello Future by NCT Dream. If you've listened to previous episodes, you might be going, she's saying Pentagon's her favorite group, but she used to say NCT was her favorite group. NCT did used to be my favorite group, but they had a rough year for me.
They've had like a rough era, like ever, rough always.
I don't know what happened this year. I wasn't a fan of most of the stuff they released this year, aside from Favorite and Beautiful.
I actually liked Favorite.
Did you have
Favorite
was
okay.
That's their NCT 2021 song. It's got 21 of the 23 people in it.
Yeah, no, I didn't like it. Or the new one where they were like, get in the car, I love you. I hated that one too. It was stupid.
You didn't like the Beautiful was the one that sounded like it was in High School Musical. It was like the slower one.
Maybe I didn't hear it.
I don't know. I think you're thinking of Universe Let's Play Ball, because I didn't like that
one. That one. Yeah, I hated that one.
Not like that one. But Beautiful has all 21 members, and it starts off slower, like a ballady type, and it kind of builds, but it straight up sounds like it's High School Musical. Mm. Really liked that one a whole lot. And then they put backup dancers in. I was like, there's 21 of you. Why do you need backup dancers?
Because we have to have at least 50 people.
I really, and and like Dream specifically, I hated hot sauce. In the background drove me insane. I could not listen to that song. But Hello Future was beautiful. The aesthetics of the video being, I feel like it felt more like a Dream song.
And it felt more like we were on acid, actually.
Well, yeah. And I know that NCT Dream are growing up and they're not like all babies, especially because like Wavy and has members the same age as Dream, and Haechan's in 127. He's in Dream as well.
Mark.
Oh, yeah. Mark is back.
Is everywhere. Mark is never not there.
I know that they're not the babies of the group anymore, but this is so nice to see a group do a group of their age do a song that feels like it's fitting for them. And the chorus was so bright and it was super fun and it made just for such like a cool ass song, and it just fills your heart with the happy.
Yeah. I mean, we know I'm not an NCT person, but I like this song. In fact, most of the songs that I like from NCT are NCT Dream. There are very few that I like from any of the other, whatever you call them. And I like that even though each section of the song sounds different, the verses sound different than the pre-chorus. Pre-chorus sounds drastically different than the actual chorus. They all sound different, but they are all able to blend. Plus, you know, SM boys and their love of sustained chords.
Gotta love Haechan for being able to pull off those sustained chords.
He's amazing. That kid's great. But yeah, it's, you know, whatevs. It's NCT. They were all wearing hippie shirts. It's a thing.
It was a thing. We did an end of summer event where we did 8 cup sleeves and we could not figure out a theme that we wanted to do because we were like, because we did 8 groups and we were like, none of these groups have one solid theme that we can solidify on. Like with our ATEEZ and Dreamcatcher one, we did a Halloween theme. And we were like, you know what? Fuck it. We're just going to do a Hello Future theme because it was so fun. So we had we literally made the soccer goal that they danced in front of with all of the flowers around it as a photo booth. And then all their little picket signs they were carrying, our friend Jackie hand painted every single one of those. Damn. And then we made little spaceships that from the soccer field scene that hung above the soccer goal everything. Yeah. We went all out, but we were like, you know what's the best thing that we could go with? Hello Future.
Hello Future. Not hot sauce.
I'm also so I every time I hear hot sauce I think of the stupid Kwanya thing that SM's doing, and
ugh.
I was like, we're not doing anything Kwanya related at all ever.
Idiotic.
What's not idiotic is your next song.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe, we don't know. But it's LMLY, Let Me Love You, by Jackson Wong. Let Me Love You.
Leave Me Loving You.
Yes, but it's the same feeling, so it's fine. Also a song that I've had run repeat, and I've also serenaded in a Creed a Uterus with. I've serenaded everybody in the whole lab with this song. They're like, Abby, please shut up. I'm like, no, it's Jackson.
I cannot believe you just threw out an A Creed a Uterus and just kept going. Like, that wasn't going to be something that people weren't going to go, what the fuck?
It's fine. I wasn't going to stop. And it's true, so I'm just trying to give them the facts. Anyway. It's fine. I would leave my husband so fast for Jackson Wong. It's not even funny.
Brett loving you.
I love you. He's mad. I don't typically like the early 90s sound that Trinity loves. But it's really only being sampled in this particular song. It feels nostalgic, but it's a bop, you know? And one of my favorite things about this music video is I have a theory. So last season on a show called Street Dance of China, Jackson Wong was a judge. And while he was a judge, a couple did a dance with this concept that went viral on the internet. Fucking people were losing their shit over it. And the concept is you are in love, but she turns out not to be real or, you know, doesn't know you in this case. And not a single year later, Jackson puts out this video with the same concept. And I'm not saying he stole it. What I'm saying is he probably called them. It's like, can I please, for the love of God, use this? I will give you $5. Like,
I will give you five whole dollars.
Yes. Because not even a year.
All of Jackson's solo stuff is just immaculate. And what I love that he's doing in all of his videos is at the end of his videos, he's like showing his director, like him being a director. Mm-hmm. And
yes.
Drive You Home was my favorite Jackson song of this year. But even that was just.
I forgot about that one.
He's so damn talented as a director, as a musician, as a writer, as a.
Like, as a human.
Yeah. And like this song, oh my God. I think I also listened to this one on repeat for like 2 weeks after it dropped.
I did. I definitely did. And I also listened to Drive You Home as well. Oof.
Oh, Drive You Home is so, so good.
The only song I really don't love by him is Papillon. I just don't really like rapper Jackson.
That was his whole role in Got Seven.
Exactly. It's nonsense.
I also, my least favorite one of his is Pretty Please. But, and it's not to say they're bad songs. They're just not our favorites.
It's true. Speaking of not our favorite.
No, because this is one of my favorites. It's on my list.
Sorry.
Our next song is You Can't Sit With Us by Sunmi. This was just the year of zombies coming back, apparently.
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah,
that we did that.
Nowhere.
Train to Busan, and then it was done.
If y'all haven't heard, if y'all haven't seen the video, Sunmi is basically over a guy, and he keeps showing up at her house. She throws a flower pot at his head, and it latches into his skull, and turns him into a zombie. She goes to a Blockbuster video and fights zombies in an old VHS store, and this is very on par with Pentagon and like, fuck you, but in a super bright, fun way. And, you know, I loved it. Was just such a straightforward, like, you can't sit with us. I hate you. Chorus.
And then I'll kill you and turn you into a zombie and then shoot you later on. But exactly. Then not.
And then I'm just kind of living for it. I think that she gave us a fantastic song. She's very, very talented. The video was fun. She's sexy. And just the song just like crawled into my ear and has yet to leave.
Do you know what I think? I think of Sunmi. I think she is having the time of her life. Like, her career started off kind of pretty rocky, but she's on it now, and I don't think anyone could stop her, even if we tried at this point.
What group was she in before she was a soloist?
Wonder Girls.
Okay, that's right.
But then she left to go to school, but then started a solo career.
I mean, hey, whatever works.
It's true. You do you, Brosif. And then she's the one who did Tales, right?
Yes, yes.
Like
the Catwoman origin story almost.
Lord.
I loved it. I love Tale.
She's doing whatever she wants. Absolutely whatever she wants. And that's fine. Get it?
And so that wraps up our official list.
Yes. But let's go for the unofficial list.
I had to throw one more in because I couldn't not talk about the song after the whole life. Crack. This song blew up. I know here where I live, it was like the most popular song for a very, very long time.
Still doesn't make any sense.
It blew up. It's just so fun. I think it has, I think what it is it has that typical girl group sound. Da 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 da. You know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
But it's not in a way to me that's like overbearing and overwhelming. It doesn't feel shrieky or squeaky. It was just, oh god, it was so catchy. And
I will say the girl Monday who sings the first chorus, she has a great voice, great alto voice, not squeaky, not shrieky. She's in her chest, like I like it. That's about it though.
I don't know, I felt like I couldn't talk about 2021 without talking about After School by Weekly.
I'm proud of them though, because they're still rookies. Like this is their first year, not even done yet, and they're just killing it. Very, very few groups that are not a part of the big three will ever make it this big in their first year or in general. So I'm super, super impressed with them.
I hope they continue to do well.
Yeah, good. So go for it. You do you, Weekly.
You do you, Weekly.
And then a few honorable mentions that we should at least name but not go into deep detail, which we might still in general, sorry, Blue by Wonho.
Blue by Wonho. Oh, so good. Sorry, we're not going into deep detail. Sorry.
No, we're not.
I'm Not Cool by Hyuna.
You're not cool. Lolo by Ten and Yang Yang.
Mm-hmm, it's from Wavy. And then this one surprised me, but it's on my list, is Christmas Evil by Stray Kids.
Listen, I've started to like Stray Kids a whole lot more.
Yeah, same. They've grown on me.
Yeah. Yeah, Drunk and Dazed by Enhypen.
OX by Omega X, who also debuted this year, and they're kind of like what WEEI is, where they're kind of like a conglomeration of boys that were in other groups that did not do well. Like they've got two members of one team in them, and that's what drew me to them in the first place, and then they've just captured my attention ever since.
And then the next one is You by Checkmate, which I'm super bummed about because they disbanded like last week. And they hadn't even made it a year yet.
That's so crazy.
Well, I just don't understand why. Like, they were just the next co-ed group that I was like, all right, yeah, let's get it.
Well, even when we talked about them, you yourself had said that there was not a card-shaped hole in your heart. And so I think that there just wasn't a...
Yeah.
I don't want to say there wasn't a need for them because there are so many boy groups and so many girl groups, but you just run into co-ed groups not really ever being as popular, and I think that Card is an anomaly.
I really liked it. You was really good. The next one is Goodnight by Dawn and Kwangjina.
I love Dawn. I actually learned recently it's pronounced Dawn instead of Dawn, and I love him. He's so cute. I love his voice. He is quickly rising to be one of my favorite artists. And I bought one of his albums recently, and he has the most adorable little calcifer tattoo on his neck. And I just think that everything that he touches turns to absolute gold.
It's just straight jazz, you know? It is a duet, and they're really, you know, very, very scoopy, very jazzy, and it's just about having a good night, you know, dug it cold feet, and it's, it's so good. I love it. Sorry, I know I'm just not supposed to talk about it, but my next song, which I only didn't add because it's in Spanish, and I really thought that was really against the rules, it's a Si Fuera Mia by Dio, and I love Dio so much.
What?
His album, it definitely wasn't quite what I wanted, but it was good enough. It was close enough. Like, his song Dad, I will cry every time. It doesn't matter. I don't even have, like, it's, what's wrong with your dad? Like, anyway, sorry. The next one is ZZZ by Yua, and a lot of people got really interested at Yua really quickly because of her duet with RM, but then fell off.
Yeah, that duet was amazing.
It was, but then she didn't do anything for a minute, and then she came back, and you know, it took a while, and as you know, the momentum is the thing that keeps you going, and she lost it, but then she came back. And this one, it is very simple, but I love her voice so much. I love it. She's just an amazing singer in general, and it doesn't matter if she's K-pop or what. She's just great, so you should listen to her. And then the one we mentioned earlier, Hate That, by Ki and Taeyeon.
Oh my god, dude. It's amazing.
Dude, just,
I just don't think that Ki ever misses. You know, I had Bad Love on here at first, and he's so talented.
I love Ki so much. He's my bias in SHINee, and I know people are like, he's a rapper. He's not a goddamn rapper, okay? I don't care what K-Profile says. It's a lie.
I don't want to have the two moons from EXO conversation with you again. Mans is a rapper.
I don't care. Don't care. He is a singer. He is a dancer. He's not a rapper. He has a deadpan face, and I love it.
We are never going to agree on this, so we're just going to go ahead and end the episode here.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for sticking around. And if you've been here this long with our hiatuses and everything, we really appreciate you. And we can try to say that we're going to come back and do this regularly.
We're not going to say that. In fact, we're not going to set that. We're not going to set ourselves up for failure. What we will say is we will be back for sure. For sure. January 2022. We will be back January 2023 to do this again. I'm just saying, things that they can count on for sure.
Absolutely. And guys, if you don't follow us on social media, we do have a Twitter. You can find us on Twitter at K-Pop Parade. That's K-P-O-P-A-R-A-D-E. Abby's fantastic about posting regular content on there for us.
Except for that one week. We don't want to talk about that. No, we don't. It happened again, but it's fine.
Just don't say anything. It's fine. Just don't say anything. It's fine.
It was Christmas, okay?
We also have an Instagram, so you can find our Instagram at @kpopparade_podcast. Not that I am great at posting on it, but it is there. It does exist.
We have an Instagram?
Yeah, that's a thing that we have. We have one.
Just kidding. I knew that. I did.
Once again, thank you all again so much for listening, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.